Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Let me pray, and then we'll get into it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're good.
Yes.
We thank you that you would bring enlightenment to your word. Father, we thank you. I decrease so that you may increase. Let me hear from you. I open up my ears. That you would bring true word, true life to your scriptures. Amen. It's good.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad to be here. Not to be teaching as much as just to be here. Hanging out with my parents. Put me to work. And working. So I am really, really glad to be here. But I'm going to touch on some things and say some things. Yesterday, as we were in the hospital, Dad says, you're going to teach tomorrow. I said, okay. I'm just learning how to say okay. I do believe I have a word. I do believe I have a word, and I think it's going to be good and timely, because some of the themes that has went on service today, hopefully it will bring clarity and some enlightenment or some comfort and some areas in your life. So bless God for that. But while we were going through the midst of the service, there's a couple of things that I'm going to say pre-message, but while I get into what the Holy Spirit said to me, that will hopefully lead into what we're going to cover today. But the scripture will come out of Luke chapter 22. So please turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Amen. Amen, amen. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, good. But that's not where I'm going to start. So the Holy Spirit said to me in service, and it is not frustrating. It's not even very difficult. But understand that anytime there's a form of, let me back it up. Let's take my time. So this is what the Holy Spirit said. How many people, just by a show of hands, I'm just feeling kind of tired today. Just a little tired. Amen. This is the Holy Spirit said to me. This is what you've been eating. The reason why you're not pressing in and pressing through, your diet has been based on this. If I would get into this bag, I can pull out probably a four-course meal. I smell coffee in here. That gives you energy. I probably can pull vegetables. I can probably pull some meat, some protein. But most of us wouldn't eat this, would we? Why? Because it's what?
Garbage.
These are the conversations that you're having during the course of the week. These are the things that you've been pressing into. The people you've been listening to, those conversations that are not by the Holy Spirit. And then you wonder when you enter in His presence, you're dragging because you're feasting on this. Your challenge is stop eating it. Stop having conversations with individuals who are not pressing. They themselves are not pressing in. They just having conversations. See, as I said before, I smell coffee in here. Maybe smell a little protein in here. I smell some things that at one point in time was edible, but because it's garbage, it's no longer suitable for consumption.
Wow.
Just because someone says something that's good does not mean it's suitable for consumption. Just because someone says that it's okay, and they got the glitz and the glare, and it smells good, it looks good, you must check the source because it could very well be garbage. Matthew
There's a parable. And when Jesus having a conversation about the kingdom, and he has a conversation about the 10 virgins that are going out to meet the bridegroom. And what he says to them is very simple. And I'll just paraphrase because I'm going to get to what we're covering today. But he tells them that the 10 bridegrooms, 5 of them had no oil. The other 5 had oil. And it goes back to garbage and pressing in. Understand, at the end of the day, as soon as you cross over in a relationship with Christ, you enter into a kingdom. And in that kingdom, I cannot take you with me. My walk and my journey is my walk and my journey. My oil that I have belongs to me.
Wow.
Because on my journey, if I run out, I can't afford to run out. That song says, "Fill me up, Lord." Most of us don't understand because you don't understand what it means to be filled. I can't make it if I give you my oil. You got to learn how to get your own.
Yes, yes, yes.
You got to learn how to get your own because your journey is your journey. We keep talking about kingdom. We keep talking about kingdom. Understand, as much as I love my mother and my father, I do not live based on her oil. I do not live based on his oil. The problem is, well, I'm going to say this. Your kids, your children cannot live on your oil.
Right. Amen. Amen.
The whole rearing process is to train them to find oil for themselves.
Yes.
The reason why you're tired is because your kids are using your oil. The reason why they're not going anywhere, because they've been living off your oil for years. Teach them how to get oil for themselves. Because the kingdom is like that in heaven. Because at the end of the day, there is a shift in the atmosphere. And if you don't have your own oil, they will not make it. Or you will not make it.
That's true. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true.
You must have your own oil.
Yes, yes.
It should not be a... I've been teaching on the Torah. In the beginning, God says, let there be light. That light is not physical light. That light is a revelation of who he is. We get the term, spiritual folk, we call it the Shekinah glory. In Genesis 1:1, that light is the revelation of who he is, his glory, his enlightenment of everything that he is. That meaning that in the beginning, his glory alone enlighten the planet before he created luminaries and stars. That same Shekinah glory lives in you. The reason why, and the Holy Spirit said this, and I could be wrong and I'll probably correct it, but the Holy Spirit said something to me. The reason why church folks are dragging a lot is because the Shekinah glory that should enter is the enlightenment that is needed for the unbeliever to understand that he is God. But because we're not reaching out, and because we're not in an environment where we're bringing individuals who need the Shekinah glory, it doesn't exist, and we're chasing after something. There is a glory that God is wanting to release through us and in us, but it's not because of who you are. It's because the people are being drawn to a light. Let me back it up. I don't want to make any confusion. The Shekinah glory exists to bring enlightenment to people who are in darkness. And sometimes what we need to carry with us is that same glory that brings light to dark places. To be filled and to go and to do and to be everything God has called us to be. So my challenge as we get into scripture, if you're feeling spiritually draggy or foggy, 2 things. Check what you're plugging into. Those gossip conversations that you're having. those individuals where you know they're not pressing in, they just talking. Church talk is not always good talk. And I'll be honest.
Wow.
I don't spend a whole lot of time with people who just talk all the time. If you're doing nothing, then my life becomes a reflection of you not doing nothing yourself.
Right.
Check the conversation that you're having. Check what your appetite and what you're feeding on. Check it. Check it.
Yeah.
Don't eat things from any other. See, old folk, everybody talk about old folk. My great-grandmother comes from the South. Old folk used to understand real witchcraft. Don't eat that. Mm-mm, that's food. Don't eat that. Well, it looks edible. No, you ain't supposed to eat that. They say don't go on the first date. If you got spaghetti, anything that's red sauce, don't eat it. And people were laughing, but because it used to be common known in the South that people work hex and voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, we're human beings, but we live in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
But there are angels and demons that are descending and ascending back from heavenly realms into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what you eat also creates an environment in which you are living. If I sit with a person who complains all the time, I'm going to start complaining.
That's right.
If I sit with a person that's sick all the time, I'm going to be sick.
That's true.
If I sit with a person all the time, talking about, oh, my back, I guarantee my back will start hurting because I'm in joint with that.
That's true. Anyway, come into agreement.
Right. Watch who you come in agreement to.
That's right.
It affects your diet.
That's
it'll affect your oil.
That's true.
My journey, I got to get there.
Yeah.
As much as I love my wife, I'm trying to get there too. I can't take her oil. And there are times where I'm, and what we should do is heavily provoke each other to fill ourselves up.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. If she's up at 3 o'clock at 2 o'clock in the morning, I should be provoked. I need to pray more. Not because, oh, you're doing too much.
That's right. That's
true. I should be provoked to go more.
That's true.
Because at the end of the day, it's about a journey. It's about living a life that is totally, totally, totally consecrated for the Lord. And I just want to say that, not to be a downer, but to give you some truth.
Yes.
Just to give you some truth. If you're a little tired, man, check what you're eating. And maybe what you're eating could also inflect your plate. I'll just say that, even on a personal note. Maybe what you're eating spiritually can also affect your play. See, church folk can cause you to stress eat.
That's so true.
Church business can cause you to be frustrated. Religious folks will kill you. People who have big ministries, a lot of times they talk about pastors. Heard this one guy, he was talking about pastoring, and he was talking about, you know, a lot of pastors have depression and all this kind of all this other stuff and all these issues. Did Jesus Christ die for you to have depression? Or are we becoming self-proclaimed gods to think that we carrying folk?
Come on, help, Lord.
And the responsibility of these pastors is not to carry you over the finish line. You gotta have your own will. They'll try to show you how to get it. You can't, they can't carry you over the finish line. They trying to get over themselves. And maybe if we taught people how to get their own up, maybe we have the issues we have. Let's go to Luke. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 24 it said, now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest.
Wow.
And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Let me stop right there because that's not the title of the message, but I'll get there. He said there was a dispute among them as to which one of them should be considered the greatest. And he said, Jesus, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Anyone that lordships over you is a benefactor. They're benefiting over you. Wow. They're benefiting over you. Anyone who lords over you is benefactoring off of you. They're not investing. They're withdrawing.
Wow.
But here these great men were, the disciples, having this conversation about who was going to be the greatest among them. Jesus turns to them and says, the Gentiles, lords over you. Now, I've been spending a lot of time talking about church history as I've talked about the Torah. But understand, true lifestyle and the way the scriptures are written, the only person that's supposed to be your Lord and Lords and King of Kings is Christ.
Right.
No man was designed to be the Lord over a people, yeah, over a person. You were never created to have dominion over another person. So anytime we look at leadership to lord over people, that is a Gentile and pagan religion system. Because the person who leads you is benefactoring over you. The term rabbi was called teacher. Jesus was a teacher. What does teachers do? Empower. They're not lords. The reason why there's always been a dispute in church history is because we have looked towards lordship and we call lordship leadership. The reason why we look at church a certain way and say that church is hopping and this church is this, that, and the third, because he's a Lord.
Wow.
And he benefits over the people. They're benefactors over the people. Why? Because a church, your tithes and offerings is really a tax on the people and it's benefiting them. How do you create multi-million facilities and over such an income and unemployed people? They're benefactors. They're lords. People are prophesying prosperity, but they're the only one that's benefactoring over what they're saying. They're lording.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Wow.
So Jesus turns to them and he says, understand, the Gentiles and their pagan ways, they teach a lordship model in which there's leadership. But he goes on to verse 26, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater is he who sits at the table, he who serves. Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. The servant leadership principle. The greatest is the one who serves.
Yes.
Understand, at the end of the day, the greatest is the one who serves. The greatest is the one who serves. And I bestowed you upon the kingdom, verse 29, just as my Father bestowed upon you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, demanding that you be brought to trial, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. The title of this message is Peter, Peter. Satan has desired to shift you as wheat. But, shift as wheat. But, I pray for you.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
So turn to your neighbor and says, we all have a Peter moment.
We all have a Peter moment.
Turn to your neighbor, the other neighbor, and say, we all have a Peter moment.
We all have a Peter moment.
Amen. So in the midst of this conversation, conversation. Jesus is having the conversation with all of his disciples, and then he shifts his perspective towards Peter. Now, he wasn't really talking to Peter. He was addressing the situation in which he spoke to Peter and said, "Peter, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you."
Yes.
Now, I wanted to explain what the Peter moment is. We all have these moments in which we have surrounded ourselves with people of position and power and movement and what we're trying to do, and then all of a sudden we get this itis or this attitude or this belief system that we get ready to jump off and make it happen. They're gauging for position and power. Think about it. First time the Holy Spirit calls you to leadership, first thing you do, you get the big head. I'm gonna say it, when I was a kid, someone said, "Oh, you done called to ministry." The next week, I got me a briefcase and I started walking to church with a briefcase.
You sure did.
Gauging, because that is the interpretation now that I'm supposed to have the walk and talk the talk. Had a Peter moment. You come into a church, the beginning of the church, and the church start going, and you get cool with the pastor, and all of a sudden, you gauging. Am I going to be the prophet of the new church, young meat people's ministry? When the church get big, what's my job, my responsibility? You're having a Peter moment. Let me explain Peter. They want positions, but ain't nobody serving no tables.
Wow.
You want position, but when it comes time to clean up, you don't want to clean up nothing. You want position, but you don't want to do outreach. You got enough energy to prophesy, but you sure can't cook a plate of food. And when you cook the plate of food, you got all that. Having the Peter moment. Where you're thinking about how great you are and what you can accomplish, but you're missing the whole point of servitude. We all have it. I have it. We all have had these Peter moments where we forget all the things that we know is to be true about what the scripture tells us what we are to become, and we start gauging in this self-righteousness, pride about how great am I. We all have Peter moments. And understand that this conversation happens in the most critical time in Jesus' ministry.
Wow.
He has already been betrayed. He has his Passover, washes the disciples' feet. And then all this is going on, they start having this side conversation as who's going to be the greatest. Because it's the pinnacle. Understand, Jesus has been making it happen. See, most of us have an addiction to power. We do. We like knowing folk. Look at your cell phone. Look at how many friends you got on Facebook. Look how you have connection with prophets so-and-so and so-and-so. So-and-so, so-and-so know me by name. God, it's number one, it's even worse in America because it's how this whole system operates. Mm-hmm. Who you know, networking. Yeah. 90% of our churches, it's not because you hot, it's because who you tapped into.
Jesus.
The reason why these churches 10,000 plus, they've been seated by individuals who got 10,000, they putting you on. It's like an album. It's like a crew. If I put you on, you're gonna have X amount. You're gonna give me X amount. I give me X amount. Power has nothing to do with servitude. You can't go from 0 to 10,000 members overnight and you're not talking about nothing. No, you're networking, cutting deals. People talk about every industry that exists on this planet. Had a conversation with my mom. Me and Sheree talk about it all the time. The people who we call successful, we gotta watch their source. Why? Because in a pagan system that's been controlled by the devil, you can't make the kind of moves these people are making if you have not cut deals with Satan. You can't. And as soon as you cut the deals, the things they talking about, they start talking about them anymore. They become optional conversations. There's no way in the world you can have ministry 5 to 10,000 and you still have crime in your neighborhood. You're not doing anything. They bought you off.
Wow.
You sold your anointing. You did a Judas moment.
Wow. Woo.
But as soon as the Messiah goes to the cross, you're going to try to get that money back and they're going to say it's too late. That's the reality that we live in. Hopefully with overflowing life, what I'm trying to get you is to shift your mindset to a Jesus mindset. The revelation that he will build his church was a revelation of who he was. We have to shift our mindset of what we think great ministry is. Because if you really make your moves, most people are not going to like you. They're not. They're not going to be your friends if you're true prophetic. They're not. They don't want to talk to you. They're not. They're not going to be your friends. Better learn how to walk alone. Better learn how to not look at people's faces. Have people cuss you out by eyesight. It's the reality. It's the reality. But we're so superficial and fickle because we have not seen the manifestation of true sons of God. But they're here. And they exist. And they're coming. Because there's no other place for them to come.
Amen. Yeah.
But understand, we all have these Peter moments. We all have this inclination to power or this desire to be close to power. And who's going to be the greatest? But Jesus turns to Peter. He says, Satan has a plan for you, Peter. But I prayed.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Satan has a plan for you. But I prayed. What I like, the one translation that says, Satan has a plan for you, Peter. He wants to put you on trial. But I've prayed for you. To me, that is the most powerful scripture in the Bible, in my opinion. Because he didn't say, Peter, I think we need to pray. He said, Peter.
Hallelujah.
That even in your best intentions, Peter, mm-hmm. Satan is getting ready to put you on trial.
Come on.
He said, but I pray.
Yes. Yes.
In the midst of the mess you're getting ready to walk in. Peter, you don't even know that it's coming.
Yeah.
Peter, I'm not going to even have a true conversation about what you're getting ready to do.
Right.
But rest assured, but I prayed.
Yes.
To me,
thank you.
Out of everything you read in the New Testament, that shows how gangster Jesus really was.
Amen.
You were this gangster.
How much grit he had,
yes,
to know, yes, you've been betrayed, getting ready to know you, getting ready to go to trial, getting ready to know what's getting ready to happen to you.
Hallelujah.
And all the people that you've been ministering with and hanging with you are up here vying for positions. You turn around and you say to Peter, to them, and says, they desire to put you on trial, but I pray for you.
Wow. I hear it. Yeah, God.
But I prayed. But I prayed for you. See, some of us have made decisions. Sometimes we don't know whether they're the right decisions or the wrong decisions. And every day of our life, we operate in knowing that we walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. We choose jobs based upon faith. We leave jobs based upon faith. And we are entrusted to know that we have made the best decision possible. But the awesomeness of who our God is, he says, Carl, Satan has a plan for you. You don't even know that it's coming, but I pray for you.
Hallelujah.
It's the but I pray.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't tell Peter, I think I'm going to pray for you. He said it's already been a done deal, Peter.
Amen.
It's going to be happening, but you're going to come out on the other side.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the ability to twist your heart to your brethren and do the exact same thing.
Yeah. Wow.
So that your faith may not fail, Peter.
Hallelujah. Wow.
I pray for you.
Yes.
That even in my prayer, there is a restoration.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes.
Already coming.
Yeah, already coming.
Already coming.
Hallelujah.
See, the only time, the other second time that we kind of see this played out is Job. Mm-hmm. Understand, Satan followed the procedures that was needed to put Peter and the rest of the 12 disciples on trial. He went to the Most High, just like he did with Job.
Yep.
And he said, look at them.
Come on.
Have they not been with your son?
Come on.
Have they not walked with him and fed the 5,000? Have they not done all these things? Mm-hmm. Can I touch them? Mm. And just like I believe, just like Job, our father said, you can touch everything around them, but you can't touch them.
Wow. Yep.
The things you've been going through, we have spent so much of our time focusing on the things around them and not realizing that even in the hell that we're going through, Satan still can't touch you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That even in your point of lack, even in your point of struggle, even the point that you don't even see your way coming, Satan can't touch you.
Come on.
Why? Because he's prayed for you.
Yes.
Some of us have been judging whether or not God is with us based upon stuff.
Whoa.
Not because we haven't been touched. Like the Hebrew boys thrown in the fire. We've been focusing on the fire and saying, God, you're not with me. Not the fact that I haven't been burned up yet.
Whoa, God. Whoa.
Amen.
Mm. That was good.
Did not Peter go through what he went through?
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely did.
Yes,
just like you're going to have to go through what you got to go through.
Yeah.
But the issue is, can Satan touch?
Come on.
He can't touch. That job, touch the job.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't touch you.
Yeah.
The problems that come along with pressing into God, or the problems that come along with elements of increasing your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that, because he told Peter, so that your faith, 90% of stuff you're going through, hopefully, if you do it correctly, is to increase your faith.
Yeah,
it's to increase your faith. The reason why you go from glory to glory is because you've been touched.
Yeah.
Other things around you caused you to draw back unto the one to whom
That's
you belong.
Right.
So the sifting process.
Mm.
How does that all work? Well, back in Hebrew times, they would take a pitchfork and throw the wheat up in the air.
Yep.
And they would allow the wind to blow off the chaff. And the heavy things would fall back to the ground to be used.
Yes.
So the reason why your life gets thrown upside down and inside out is because the Holy Ghost is trying to blow that stuff off of you.
Come on.
But we spend half our time trying to grab on stuff that cannot be used.
Come on. Trying to catch it. Help Jesus.
Come on.
Help Jesus.
The reason why you're going through what you have to go through.
That's right.
Is to get that stuff off of you because it's no good.
Have to go through.
If you are called to ministry and you love ministry more than him, he's going to blow it off of you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Wow.
Because
he can't use your love for it.
That's right.
Because you contaminate it.
Yes. Wow.
If you feel like you want to be important, he going to test you in that level of importance.
Yeah.
Because he got to blow that thing off for you.
Yes, he does.
Because it's not going to be good for you.
Hallelujah.
Because Peter responds to him. And further scripture was, well, Lord, I'll go to prison. I'll go die for you. See, you, if you got too much stuff on, you ain't going to die for something.
Nope.
And Jesus, and I love, that's why I love Jesus. Because he said something so profound. Peter says, no, I'll die for you. I do. He said, man, by the rooster crow three times, man, you're going to deny me. Three times. Don't come with me like that. Because you already knew.
Yeah.
And we all had those moments. It feels good in church when we shouting this. Oh, God, I'm going to take the mountain. God said, by the time you get to that parking lot, sister so-and-so going to test you and you're going to cuss her out. Don't come with me to that.
God, Jesus.
The reality is, that's a real conversation. But he says, I've already prayed for you.
Yeah.
He's already prayed for you. So if you think that you're going through some things, recognize the enemy can't touch you. Every area of your life, when you surrender, it will be touched.
Yes, it will.
It'll be touched. Having a conversation. But my mom, we're just talking. I didn't everything I've ever wanted was to love God. That's it. I'm happy that I am married to a woman that loves God. But our decision to love God as an individual, as a couple, as a family, it's cost us something.
Yes, it does.
The test and the trials that come along with it, no, the enemy hasn't touched us, but he's touched stuff. There's times, man, we just don't know. But the only thing it takes is one scripture. Man may not eat off of bread alone, but every word. Okay, God, okay, I'm good with it now. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But it cost. You want to see your lifestyle change? Say yes to him. But in the midst of that yes, it's going to cost.
Yeah.
It's going to cost. It's going to cost. What you saw in Acts when Peter rose to the occasion,
yes, come on,
was because of what Christ said,
yes,
in that scripture,
yes,
that your faith, yes, he was the chief champion,
come on,
of the Holy Spirit coming to the earth and speaking, yes, in tongues, yes, chief, yes, champion of it. Draw all of them, everyone together. Mm-hmm. But it cost. Mm-hmm. Even when he was crucified, Peter acted a fool. Even the cutting off people's ears and all that stuff. Because he was going through it.
Yes, he was.
It cost.
Yeah.
It cost.
Yeah.
What you see in Acts is not a mistake.
Oh, glory.
It's Peter drowning in the water and getting back up.
Yes.
Having these critical conversations. Peter, a lot of times, looked like an ADHD case. He always doing something. Always doing something. But it cost him.
Yes, it did.
If it cost Jesus, if it cost the great patriarchs of faith, it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the reason why you're not going from glory to glory, because we do have a good father.
Yes.
We do have a good father. And when we jack up, And we not seeing the picture, he just starts the process all over again. Mm-hmm. And you think I made it through? No, because the same test you're going through over, mm-hmm, and over again. But understand, Peter did. He didn't bypass the sifting process. Mm-hmm. He did get sifted.
Yes, he did.
But Christ prayed. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Scripture tells us that Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, atoning for us. The right hand is the place of authority. The co-equal branch. The authority of God. Anytime you say, anytime you see the right hand, it means the direct ear or the authority. Jesus tells us that he sits at the right hand of the Father. If he came to tell me today who you guys is, and he said this, he says, you know what? My blood is already your retainer's fee.
Yes, God.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. My blood is your retainer's fee. Even before you mess up, I'm already negotiating the deal.
Come on. Hallelujah.
This is when I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father. Even before you jacked up, the case has already been sealed and closed. You have an everlasting retainer's fee.
Yes.
Your special counsel is already on hand. 24 hours a day. 7 days out the week, if you choose to abide in me.
Yeah.
Jesus said he's already your prepaid legal.
Amen.
He's already your prepaid legal. He said even before you go to court, it's already a favorable condition.
Yes.
As long as you take me into the courtroom. Let me say that again. As long as you take me into the courtroom. Some of you are taking the wrong individual to plead your case in a courtroom and wonder why you get unfavorable sentences. Jesus tells Peter, Satan does desire to devour us. We heard that today. But Jesus has prayed for you.
Glory to God.
Yes.
He said, but I've prayed.
Oh, glory.
Those stuff. The reason why you get so frustrated is because your heart has been so accustomed to juggling or judging your relationship with Christ based upon the stuff you can accumulate. That's the reason why the prosperity teaching is so corrupt, because it teaches people to judge their relationship with Christ based upon the attainment of stuff.
All right.
You think that you have favor with God because God gave you a new house.
Come on.
How do you know that was God who gave you that new house? Does your attitude change when you get the new house?
Come on.
Does your attitude change when you get the new car?
Wow.
Does your attitude change when you get the new? Because if the shifting comes, or the sifting comes, pardon my French, will you be upset with God when he takes those things away? Would you cry like a baby because that car that you gave me now is gone? Or that job that you gave me is now gone? Or my money's a little funny, but I thought you was gonna take care of me, God. So the challenge for us today, not the challenge, there's no challenge. It's to recognize, but God has prayed for you.
Yes.
If you want to go to the next level in him, if you want to see the supernatural or the miraculous happen, endure to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Things I said in the beginning, I said that it's for the endurance purposes.
Yes.
Every great athlete has a strict diet of what they consume. If you're training for the Olympics, it's getting ready to happen in the next couple of days. These athletes have buffed their bodies to the highest level. They don't consume certain things. In preseason prep and in season prep and in competition, because they have to be optimal. When I started today and I said, hey, if you're tired, black people raise your hands. Watch what you eat. Everybody around you, and I'm trying to teach my daughter this a lot, because she goes to a Christian school and we talk about it a lot. Everybody, just because they name the name of Christ, is not going where you're going.
Yeah.
like. Mm-hmm. Stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. The challenge for us, everybody who says they cooked a healthy meal, could have grabbed it right out this trash can and they served it. Or they preparing it in a house full of roaches and maggots. It looked like food, but you know, there was some cockroaches rolling through it. But yet it still looked like collard greens. They could be preparing something and you just eating it. So watch what you eat. Second of all, understand that your journey is your journey. And for a lot of us, we've been trying, let me say this, the individuality of our walk with Christ is important too. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Him and God had an intimate relationship that was between him and God. Just because a person is unique and they do something different does not mean that it's okay for you. And nor do you need to understand that whether or not should you judge them or ostracize them because of their uniqueness and walk with Christ. Because at the end of the day, I'm trying to conserve my oil as fast as possible, as much as possible. I can't give you what I'm surviving off of me, my Savior. So always understand that your walk with Christ is your walk with Christ. I do not intend for Natalia to walk with Christ as I'm going to show her how to have her own oil. But she better have her own oil. Because when you talk about the parable of the kingdom, Jesus is talking 1 minute, y'all both working together, and one person's caught up. Why? Because the person who got caught up was already preparing. So we need to train each other to be prepared.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you bring truth to the word. We thank you that you challenge us. Father, and anything that I should have said that I missed, Father, you should bring enlightenment to it. Things that I should not have said, I'm sorry. But Father, I thank you that you seal the word, that you challenge us.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you after everything are the things that I do go through. You've prayed for me.
Yes, God. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Even when I thought I made good decisions, and they may have been a little bit emotionally attached or attached to things, or the vision was screwed, or the vision was done out of a fleshly place, you knew it. And you've already have provided a way. So I thank you that you pray for us.
Thank you, Lord.
For us to get stronger in you.
Yes, God.
To get those things out of our lives and to get out of our lives, Father. Yes. And Father, if the only thing that I could pray today and that we become the overflowing becomes a house of surrendering.
Yes.
That we surrender that stuff.
Yes.
That you really are trying to get out of our lives. That we don't try to hold on to things that you're trying to blow away.
Yes.
So, Father, we ask that you keep us this week, challenge us this week. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Excellent work.